pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that great American, Big Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
Good evening. I am doing fantastic. Great to be here as always.
It is great to be here. It's Monday, March the 6th, 2023. Busy weekend over the weekend for sports, and we'll get to it really quick. It was the Bay Hill Classic in Orlando, Florida, and it was a shootout. The top players were at Bay Hill. It was considered what's called a designated event. And in the end, got to give it to Mr. Perseverance, Kurt Kitayama. And Kurt Kitayama absolutely hung in there. You want to talk about the definition of being a bulldog and not getting flustered, especially after a triple bogey 7 on the ninth hole to knock him out of the lead, to come back and to play the way he did, then birdie the 17th hole, the tough par 3. And then made us just an absolute spectacular approach shot on 18 hole from the rough. And Kurt Kitayama gets his first PGA Tour victory. And he's been knocking on the door the last year and a half. And he finally walked in. And it was really good to see Mr. Kitayama get that first victory under his belt. And as Rich Lerner of Golf Channel, he likes to enunciate. It's almost like another couple of announcers, they like to enunciate the name Kitayama. You know, everybody else is Kitayama. He says Kitayama. So, you know, anyways, but it was really good. It's good to see the American Kurt Kitayama play so well. So, did you watch any of it?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah. That was a fun tournament to watch, and that is one tough course. You get in that rough. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. That is brutal.
It is. But it absolutely is. Somebody I know is following or walked along Max Homa for the practice round, the Pro-Am on Wednesday, and Homa was in the rough. It was 4 inches thick at the time. It was a par 5. He tried to take a 5-iron out of the rough, and he hit it like maybe 120 yards. And he says, and he looked at Homa, and Homa looked at him, and he said, it's kind of tough. He goes, yeah, I won't try that shot during the weekend. He says, I'm going to take my medicine and take a sand wedge and just knock it out of there in position. It's like, wow.
But it's also one of the big paydays, too, for the PGA players. Kurt Kitayama won $3.6 million for first. And Rory and Harris English both won 1.78, tied for second. So congratulations to them.
Yeah, and Harris English is back. I think he was nursing a hip injury, and this is really his first good tournament. So it's good to see him back on track. I really like Harris English. And once again, you can't count out Rory. He just came out of nowhere once again. And sadly, John Rahm kind of fell off, but the LPGA, which we're starting to recognize a little bit more now, they played in, I want to say, Singapore, and they had the HSBC Women's World Championship, and Jin Young Ko, and so congratulations to Holger. He picked her. Jin Young Ko outlasted Nelly Korda, beating her by 2 shots. to win the HSBC Women's World Championship. And that was really fun to watch. Danielle Kang from America took the lead going into Saturday, and then rains hit and she lost the lead, and Jin Young Ko was right there. And so it looks like Jin Young Ko is back. Nellie Korda, American number, world number two, is really playing well as well. And she finished a solo second. So congratulations to Jin Young Ko and to the ladies. Allison Korpa is too an American. She played extremely well. She tied for third. So congratulations to her. She's going to be someone to watch, Allison Korpa, on the LPGA.
Mm-hmm.
In the news of absurd, okay, so, and, you know, the NBA, you talk about it, the NBA and absurdity. This is certainly the absurdity of it all. NBA team was forced to apologize after saying only women can birth children. Now, for the ladies out there that are listening, I'm sure that you'd probably have to demand an apology from the NBA for a team to actually say that only women can give birth to a child. Now, I'm not sure what changed between the last, 6,000 years, but apparently now not only women aren't the only ones that can give birth, and the woke basketball, the woke basketball league, the NBA, had to have the Toronto Raptors give an apology. An NBA team had to walk back and apologize for a video they posted in honor of Women's History Month. Okay, so now we're talking about honoring women, okay, and, you know, women in sports and women in the workplace and women, let's honor Women History Month. And the Toronto Raptors created a video in which three different players were asked what made women run the world, referencing Beyonce's song, Girls Run the World. Girls run the world because they are the only ones that can procreate. They birth everybody. The Raptors players responded. The video was swiftly taken down after critics called it misguided and rushed. Imagine that. Only women can give birth. Well, that's misguided. I mean, under today's woke culture and rewriting history, now rewriting science, and God knows they're rewriting God, okay? It was misguided and rushed to state that women are the ones that procreate. The Raptors were forced to apologize for the lack of inclusion their video supposedly displayed. We're an organization that prides itself on doing the right thing when it comes to inclusion and representation and rewriting science and playing God. Oh, I'm sorry, it didn't say that. It said inclusion and representation. We made a mistake. Our serious apologies to our players, our staff, and our fans. We'll work to do better today and every day after the team sent in a statement. We will work. Women History Month. The clue is in the world in the word history. Historically, everyone has been born who has been born. Every single human who ever was and has been born to a woman. At Raptors, WTF, are you apologizing? One Twitter said, nothing wrong with giving props for the coolest thing a human can do, said Toby Turner, a prominent YouTuber. In February, the NBA fined a player saying he was not homosexual during an interview after a game. The NBA fined Cam Thomas, Brooklyn Nets guard, $40,000 for using a derogatory term, a language, following the team's win against the Chicago Bulls. Thomas was interviewed on the court by TNT along with teammate Spencer Dinwiddie. 2 days prior, Dinwiddie had made a joke to the media about the recent Kyrie Irving trade, saying that while the Nets may not have acquired the most talented players, they did get the best-looking one. The trade involved Dorian Finney-Smith moving to Brooklyn, and the Nets needed some help in that department, Dinwiddie said. When asked by TNT, Dinwiddie, Cam Thomas said, after the Thursday night's game, we already had a good-looking guys, no homo. Oh my God, it's a good thing. Well, and now the woke NBA Toronto Raptors had to apologize for honoring women. And and honoring the fact that they birth children, they procreate, but you can't say that anymore. You can't say that is just misguided and rushed. My God, I guess I can't give my mother flowers at Mother's Day, and because she birthed me. I don't know about you, Al, but how are we going to deal with this now, with this woke, knowing that not only women, I guess when Pete Buttcheeks breastfeed his child using a plastic prosthesis, that's just considering breastfeeding now.
I guess unless we're all turning into amoebas, and like I said, I think forever women have been giving birth of all species, not just us, don't want to get all humanistic, but us included, but all other species for the most part, except for two-cell organisms and the lower end, and all use women, give the birth, and we are the bees that pollinate the flowers. So I don't know what they're apologizing for, but that is another good reason why I stopped watching the NBA.
Bigfoot says, "Happy Birthing Persons Day," and doesn't that just have a nice some ring to it, right? Happy Birthing Persons Day.
Yeah, I mean, at some point you just got to call bullshit and just say you're an idiot.
The woke NBA is just getting a bit too much now. They're getting quite ridiculous. They really are.
Yeah, well, the wokeness unfortunately goes into other sports as well, and this week it's a USA powerlifting team. They have to let a male cross-dresser athlete compete in women's division after losing a huge discrimination case that's been going on since 2019. J.C. Cooper, a male cross-dressing athlete, won a discrimination case against USA Powerlifting this week after the federation banned him from competing in female events. With Cooper's victory comes a mandate the federation to cease and desist from all unfair discriminatory practices because of sexual orientation and gender identity. Now, all I know is that just throws Title IX into the garbage. And for those who don't know, Title IX it helps women get the notoriety and, more importantly, get the money from professional sports as well as collegiate. It's a big thing that helps women's sports. And it's been very effective within the last, five, 6 years. Mm-hmm. Women have been doing phenomenal and getting phenomenal coverage in sports, and this just throws it all down the toilet when they're letting cross-dressing men forced to compete with the women, especially in powerlifting where men are physically stronger than women. So,
have you been to a USA powerlifting? I mean, there is no way that a woman, when a USA cross-dressing powerlifter, male who is cross-dressing as a female, when he can lift 85 pounds more than a woman in the same weight class, who has done a personal record and has broke a record, when that powerlifter can lift almost 100 pounds more, there is something wrong with that. It's this gender identity garbage is absolutely ruining women's sports, and to hear how we're going to honor women and how it's now being diluted with the fact that somebody can identify as a woman, a male can now identify as a woman because he can't compete with men at his own weight class and his own gender. It's just absolutely sickening. It really is. And it does a tremendous disservice for the women who are actually the biological women who are actually trying to compete and who work their asses off, okay, to do deadlifts, to do bench presses, and to squat. There, you know, when a cross-dressing male can squat 100 pounds more than a woman who holds the record in her weight class, a biological woman, there is absolutely something wrong with that. Shame on the fucking courts. That's just bull.
Yep, got to call bullshit on that too. And for the record, I will not use the word transgender ever again. There is no such thing as transgender. You're either male or you're female. And men who dress up like women are men cross-dressers. Women who dress up like men are women cross-dressers. That is it, and there's not, this transgender is just a made-up word that means nothing. So I encourage everyone to stop using transgender and exchange that for cross-dressers.
You know, a cross-dressing woman can't compete with a male in powerlifting. Can't compete with a male in powerlifting with the same weight class.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it.
Now, if I ever – yeah, I'd like to see a woman – put on a mustache and try to compete with the boys in the PGA. Oh, well one girl did it, but she didn't succeed. So, but if she puts on a mustache, then she'll be able to fit in. And
well,
won't she have to hang out in the men's locker room? Now that would be, I tell you, she'd be welcome with open arms. I can guarantee you.
You know, there have been women who've tried to compete, and I have to give them credit. You know, Michelle Wee,
sure,
and even Annika. And Annika was the world's – she was the number one woman in the world. And she went to the Colonial, which is a tournament, a men's tournament. And she picked that course, which is the perfect course for her to try it at. It's flatter. It's a shorter course. And she couldn't make the cut. And here's the world's number one woman, okay, who shot 59 on the LPGA, and she could not make the cut. Michelle Wee, the same thing. She played
yep.
with men her whole entire junior golf in Hawaii, and she couldn't compete with the men, okay, on the PGA Tour. She tried. She tried to make the Waialae Open, and she could not qualify for it. You know. And there are – that's two women out of how many women that have played. Even Whalen, she's the president of the PGA. You know, she tried to qualify for the U.S. Open. The problem was she was able to move up a tee, which is not right. And if she wanted to compete with men, and she knows, though, she could not compete with men at the same level. And it's nothing – not saying anything bad about that. The fact is that men are stronger.
Yeah, and I had no problem with it because, like you said, the women are playing from the same tee as the men. Everything is equal.
Right.
So I got no problem with it. But
I don't either.
But allow the women to compete at the upper tees, then I would have a big problem with it.
Another problem that's faced right now, and it comes from the United States Tennis Association. The shameless and hapless anti-constitutional Biden-Harris regime have denied the world's great number one tennis player, Novak Djokovic, from entry into the United States because he's unvaccinated. Yet it was the Biden-Harris regime who allowed millions of unvetted, unvaccinated illegal aliens entry into the United States. Plus, they gave him transportation to cities and towns across the United States that we will never know. Plus, they gave him compensation. But Novak Djokovic decides he's going to do it the legal way, okay, a very healthy male, and the discrimination by the anti-constitutional Biden-Harris regime is absolutely, it's disgusting and it's reprehensible. The regime is denying the world's number one ranked men's player, Novak Djokovic, access into the United States. If Novak would have been a black, gay, trans woman who identifies as a man, I am sure the anti-American Joe Biden would have had no problem allowing him in. But a man who is healthy and takes the necessary precautions, including entering the United States legally, unlike the unvetted, unvaccinated illegal aliens, is denied entry into the United States and also to earn a living. It's outrageous, and frankly, dictator Joe Biden and his anti-American regime are a disgrace. From MSN News or MSN.com, the Novak Djokovic vaccine saga has extended into 2023. And remember, it was Joe Biden who said the pandemic is over. The world's number one Serbian tennis star was denied entry into the United States due to him being unvaccinated against the Wuhan 19 virus, forcing him to withdraw from the BNP Paribas Open, which starts Wednesday in Indian Wells, California. Novak Djokovic had requested a vaccine waiver, but was denied by Homeland Security. Now, this is the same Homeland Security that's run by Mayorkas, okay? Mayorkas has failed the American people at the border with unvaccinated, illegal, unvetted aliens pouring through our borders. Now, there's nobody that has been more vetted than Novak Djokovic, especially on the world stage. It's reprehensible that the Homeland Security Secretary would deny access to Novak Djokovic. The 35-year-old was forced to withdraw from the 2022 Australian Open after arriving in Melbourne, first having his visa canceled and then being deported out of the country. Djokovic also did not play in the 2022 U.S. Open, which Spaniard Carlos Alcaraz ended up winning. The vaccine drama and subsequent missed tournaments caused Djokovic to temporarily lose hold on the number one ranking, but he regained that status after winning the 2023 Australian Open once the country loosened their vaccine requirements. So Australia now, which had one of the most strict rules in the world concerning access into Australia due to the Wuhan virus. Okay, they allowed Djokovic in to the Australian Open and to compete. And guess what? Djokovic wins it. And he wins it for a record, I think, 10th time. And maybe that's just it. Maybe the world left-wing cabal doesn't want Djokovic to dominate the Paribas Open in Indian Wells. But shame on the Biden regime. Shame on the Biden-Harris regime. Shame on the fraudulent border czar. And shame on Alejandro Mayorkas. He has to be one of the worst Homeland Security secretaries ever. And that's only 20 years old. But he's certainly he is absolutely the worst. And he should be impeached. How do you not let Novak Djokovic, the world number one ranked men's tennis player, not into the United States, yet the Australians let Novak in earlier this year? Very, very, it's very, very poor and, big fat raspberries to the Department of Homeland Security. They have failed the American people once again. Senator Rick Scott of Florida said on Twitter that Homeland Security had rejected Djokovic's vaccine waiver request, which had allowed him to play back at Indian Wells and Miami, which runs March 19th to April 2nd. The U.S. is ending the COVID-19 emergency declaration on May 11th, which will allow foreign air travelers to enter the country without being vaccinated. It's all crap. Absolutely crap. Shame on Biden and the Department of Homeland Security. It's just sickening what we're seeing today, Al.
Oh, it's horrible. Like you said, every illegal alien coming over the border, it doesn't matter, but here's a productive, world-class athlete, and they don't like it because Djokovic is a face of resistance to the COVID jab, to the protocols, to everything that the Biden administration has been pushing on the American people. So
yeah, that's a good point.
It's horrible.
Very good point.
It's horrible.
He's a face of resistance, and this is what the left wing does not want. They can't afford to have somebody in there who portrays a positive in that his exercising his individual liberties and rights, even though he's not a U.S. citizen. But it's pretty crappy, and Mayorkas once again has failed the American people.
Yep, and he should be impeached. He's a horrible Homeland Security, and he's Homeland Insecurity.
That he is. He's absolutely caused the chaos. He's contributed to the chaos that was caused by Joe Biden. And speaking of chaos, this from a Twitter friend, CJ, Walmart is closing their final two Portland stores and laying off 600 workers after record-breaking thefts in the Democrat-led city. Walmart has announced it's permanently closing all of its locations in Portland, Oregon, months after CEO Doug McMillon warned of historic rise in theft at its stores. Now, I understand, you know, with the left wing, they want to talk about reparations, but here you have a situation where, you know, business has to basically make a profit in order to employ people. Now, 600 workers, because of the left-wing wokeness, because of the anti-capitalist belief system, because the anti-American belief system by the left wing, the destructive Democrat Party, a major department store, Walmart, a major supermarket, Walmart, is closing. And they're closing two stores in Portland. Why? Because of record-breaking thefts, rising crime. Walmart said it's permanently closing its last two stores in Portland months after CEO warned of a historic rise in thefts. And, you know the left wing, you know, defund the police and crime gets out of control. And who pays the price? Businesses. And then who pays the price? Workers, employees. And now 600 people are out of a job. The Democrat Party should absolutely change their slogan to MAD, M-A-D, Make Americans Dependent. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're making Americans dependent upon the federal government for financial assistance, unemployment, food stamps, and now they're closing they're forcing a business, okay, that has 600 employees. Think about that. 600 employees. And they're closing the business. The site located at the Delta Park and Eastport Plaza shopping centers in North and Southeast Portland will shutter on March 24th. So I guess there's still, what is it? Today's the 6th. So there's still 18 days to rob and pillage the Walmart stores. The retail giant said it's closing the stores, which serve as a haven for low-income shoppers across the city because they were not meeting financial expectations. That said, the closures serve as the latest instance of business relocating or closing shops altogether amid a pronounced rise in crime and homelessness. The mass exodus has been carried out by owners fed up with Portland's sad state and officials' subsequent failure to quell both crises. The maneuver, which brass blamed on financial woes, comes months after CEO Doug McMillon warned of historic rise in theft at the retail giant store. Now, keep in mind, a retail store is not a depository where you can have self-checkout, where you can walk into the store, a store such as a Walmart, and walk out with a basket full of groceries and supplies and not pay for it. Okay? So at some point in time, there has to be an adult in the Democrat Party to stand up and say enough is enough. This isn't some third world shithole. Okay? This is the United States of America. Remember, the Democrat Party likes to use that slogan, that cliche, rule of law. And now we have a rule of law. Thou shalt not steal. I don't know what part the ignoramuses on the left don't understand. Now, either the people on the left side are stupid or just plain retarded, or they're both. Now, a business, you know what? With all of Walmart's philanthropy, and Walmart gives millions of dollars a year all across the United States of America to charitable causes. But they have to be able to make money in order to do that. They support their communities. But supporting the community doesn't mean you walk in and you steal $500 worth of merchandise and you walk out. That's a crime. And in the past, when we were kids, if we stole a dollar's worth of merchandise, okay, or $5, there were consequences for that. But now there are no consequences with the left wing. And subsequently, they've shut down a major business, Walmart. And they've killed 600 jobs for working Americans. Once hailed as the crown jewel of the West for its trendy art and food scenes, the city has already seen a Portland Nike store shut down last year due to mass shoplifting, as well as popular retail store in the city's downtown that was broken into 15 times over the course of just 2 months. Portland's current predicament has persisted since the pandemic and will now deprive residents of two of the last remaining convenient and cost-effective outlets at a time of surging food costs and economic uncertainty. Well, what? A time of economic uncertainty? Well, blowhard Biden told us that the economy's great. Portland's current, in a statement to local outlet KPTV, Brass for the big box store cited such uncertainty for the reason behind the closing down of the last two remaining Portland Walmarts. He said the decision to close these stores was made after a careful review of the overall performance. We consider many factors, the spokesperson would then add, pointing to the current projected financial performance, location, population, customer needs, and proximity of other nearby stores when making the decision. Employees will have the option to transfer to locations outside the city, the rep added, though only a handful are within walking distance, with the nearest being 3 miles away in the suburb of Happy Valley. So here you go. You've got Walmart closing its stores because of shoplifting, because of crime. And where is the governor expressing outrage over the crime? Oh, he's too busy worrying about defunding the police. Where are the Democrat Party leaders, and not Democratic Party, because there's nothing Democratic about the Democrat Party? This type of activity should not be tolerated. Businesses aren't open, okay, for degenerates to walk in and steal things. And then, of course, there are consequences for these actions. And now people are up in arms because Walmart has the audacity to close their stores. Well, guess what? If you're losing $500,000 a year, if you're losing $5 million a year due to shoplifting and crime, it no longer makes sense to operate a business in that district, that area, that location. And you move. And guess who pays for it? The employees, the working Americans pay for it. Great job, Democrat Party. Great job, you Marxists. Great job, socialists. All expecting that businesses should just roll over and allow your minions to start ripping businesses off. Great job. Nike closes their stores. Another business downtown Portland closes their stores. They have 15 robberies inside of 2 months. 15. It's sick. It's absolutely sick. And sadly, the working Americans now pay for it. Wonder if BLM is going to go ahead and help finance the working Americans who've lost their jobs, Al.
Yeah, but the reason they're closing is the crime, but it's also that the Portland City government did not uphold their bargain with Walmart, and that's the bargain with everybody, every citizen, every taxpayer in that district, is you pay your taxes and you can expect basic services and police and fire and ambulance if needed. That's what your tax money and taxpayer and property tax are going for. The city council didn't deliver. Their stores kept getting hit, and you see it on YouTube, you see it on Twitter, these mass, mass gang snatch and grabs, and 30, 40 people will come in, most of them black, at least on all the Twitter videos. They come in, and then they ransack the place, and then they leave. And then the few that they do catch, the Portland DA doesn't – there's no bail. She'll let them out with no bail and slap their wrist. Meanwhile, they're destroying property, stealing thousands of dollars worth of property, and that's the problem. And the police – they get frustrated because they arrest these people at great risk, personal risk to themselves, and then they're let back out on the street to laugh at them, and police morale is down. So Portland's got a big problem. This is just a symptom of it, and this is the symptom of the failure of Marxism and this failure of this woke form of government, and it needs to be cleaned out, and we need some retribution from the conservatives, Republicans, the patriots, but I don't see it coming anytime soon.
I don't either. I you know, the left-wing Marxist movement is, you know, excuses this, these types of action, and looters walk into a business and they think they have the right to steal and loot the business. And there's like no consequences for it. And as you said, the district attorneys, the attorneys, the state's attorneys, you know, they're slapping people on the wrist. So what's the deterrent, really, seriously? Would it be a business owner, maybe that business owner who was robbed 15 times, he starts shooting the looters and maybe set the message? But then what happens to the business owner? He goes to jail. All he's doing is protecting his property.
Yeah, and we saw that at the border, the story we were talking about last week, about the rancher who shot a trespasser with a gun on his property, and he got hauled into jail. 74-year-old man.
Yeah. Yeah, stealing his stuff. Then, you know, they come onto his property and they steal his personal belongings, and somehow he can't protect his own homestead because the Biden administration failed the American people at the border. I should say the wicked man, Joe Biden, and Proverbs 6, verse 12 through 19 describes the wicked man perfectly. The wicked man, Joe Biden, is described as verse 12, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes. He shuffles his feet as he trips up the stairwell. It doesn't say stairwell. Verse 13, he points with his fingers, and we watch how the wicked man, Joe Biden, points with his fingers. Verse 14, perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord, and Joe Biden certainly sows discord. Verse 15, therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly, he shall be broken without remedy. The wicked man, verse 16, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. 17, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. And certainly Joe Biden has a lying tongue, a chronic, habitual lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, as he did with Afghanistan, to name a few places, 13 American soldiers dead. The wicked man, verse 18, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil. We saw that today in Selma, right? The wicked man, verse 19, a false witness who speaks lies and one who sows discord among brethren. And certainly Marjorie Taylor Greene is feeling the wrath of the sowing of discord from a false witness who speaks lies, and that would be Joe Biden, who now uses Marjorie Taylor Greene as a punching bag. So that's a really good description of Joe Biden, the wicked man, verse Proverbs 6, verses 12 through 19. And it's what's really sad about this whole thing, it continues, too. You know, it continues all across the United States. We're seeing this. You know, Joe Biden sets up for a photo op today or in Selma, Alabama. He's supposed to be this great civil rights leader, and he's propped up by the other charlatan fraud, Reverend Al Sharpton, and they're recreating some Selma walk, which absolutely denigrates, you know, what Dr. Martin Luther King did, the real civil rights march. And these civil rights leaders are proclaiming, you know, voter intimidation, voter suppression, which is another false and phony narrative. But it looked like a nursing home walk that was being conducted in Selma, Alabama. And they were propping up and they were holding Joe up. And then suddenly there's the beast. Not Michelle Obama, but there's the beast that he gets that Biden gets into, you know, about what was it, about 200 feet of a walk. So he did his photo op, and that was good enough. And then they rush President Shuffles into the beast, and he gives a thumb up, and he takes off. So, you know, again, it's symbolism over substance with this administration, with this regime. They bear false witnesses. They sow discord, and they're just phony. And they're fraudulent. In the meantime, you've got businesses like Walmart shutting down stores, Nike shutting down stores. Why? Because of this woke Marxist culture thinking that it's okay to loot businesses, and capitalism is evil. So therefore, people feel that they're entitled to some sort of reparation by stealing your goods and putting Americans out of work. I'm sickened by what we're seeing today all across America, and especially in big cities. And now 600 people in Portland are out of a job thanks to this woke movement. Did you see the story, or did you see what happened in Mexico? In Mexico, four Americans kidnapped at gunpoint in Matamoros, Mexico. And I'll tell you, conversing with Holger about this, only one person looked like they were alive, who was hauled into the back of a pickup, and the other three were dragged from the ground, lifeless, and thrown in the back of the same pickup. But the report is that four Americans were taken hostage at gunpoint in northern Mexico on Friday. The four were traveling in a white minivan that just crossed over into Matamoros from Brownsville, Texas. The U.S. Embassy and Consulate in Mexico issued the following statement on Sunday. Oliver Rich, special agent in charge of San Antonio Division of Federal Bureau of Investigation, whose territory includes Brownsville, Texas, announced Tuesday that the FBI is seeking the public's assistance in identifying the persons responsible for the assault and kidnapping of four U.S. citizens at Matamoros, Tamaulipas, Mexico, on March the 3rd, 2023. The FBI partners and Mexican law enforcement agencies are investigating. The FBI announced a reward of $50,000 for the return of the victims and the arrest of those involved. Matamoros is home to warring factions of the Gulf drug cartel, and shootouts there on Friday were so bad that the U.S. consulate issued an alert about the danger, and local authorities warned about warned people to shelter in place. It was not immediately clear how the abductions could have been connected to the violence Friday. Well, and looking at, I was looking at the video and watching, just kind of, and it was just kind of odd that these four people were picked out of a car. So were these four individuals who made their way supposedly from North Carolina, were they in the drug business themselves? Did they cross a drug cartel who demanded that they appear in Mexico? And the drug lord decided he was going to wait for them and give them an honor guard salute as they entered the city, or were they mistaken for other drug cartel employees or contractors in the United States? But I don't know. The video is pretty graphic, Al. I'm not sure that three of them were still alive.
Well, probably not, unless they're being taken hostage. But they should know that it's a level 4 do not travel advisory for U.S. citizens thinking of going to Tamaulipas or anywhere along that border, citing crime and kidnapping, because the gangs rule Mexico. The gangs rule the border, all because of our current administration. And this is just another sign of it. There are idiots for going there unless they were in the business. And they got in the middle of I don't think that they were there going as tourists.
I don't think so either. And you said it whether they were in the business. That's what I thought about. When I'm looking at I'm looking at the video, and I'm seeing how these gunmen have picked these people out, and I don't see where they kidnapped them at gunpoint. I'm looking at one individual who's laying on the ground face down, who is lifeless, like a what was his name, Ray Rice, his girlfriend, after he punched her in the knocked her out in the elevator. But also, I see, and it's pretty graphic, but you see fluid trailing of one person that they're dragging on from the on the ground, who was laying on the ground lifeless. And as they're dragging this person, there's a trail of fluid that's trailing behind. So that didn't look like somebody that they kidnapped at gunpoint. And then another individual that they were trying to pick up and throw in the back of the pickup was also lifeless. It was only one person that was that went into the back of the pickup on their own being. So I'm not sure. I don't know what the spin is on this, but unless they're involved in the drug trade, they shouldn't be down in this particular area, should they?
No, and CNN's reporting is just the facts with no commentary, which is unusual in itself. So it's often what's not said is the news.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. This is a – okay. Well, there's more to come on that story, so – you know, watch the social media and certainly watch the news and to get an idea of what's happening. And this story kind of brings a tear to one's eye. A staff lawyer for the Southern Poverty Law Center, the SPLC, was arrested along with 23 people in Georgia charged with violent domestic terrorism. Yes. A staff lawyer for the Southern Poverty Law Center, you know, the SPLC, which is another, I don't know, self-proclaimed civil rights group that is an arbiter of truth and justice. One of their staff lawyers was arrested and charged with violent domestic terrorism. Last night around 5:30, Georgia police said a group of violent agitators, Antifa, used the cover of a festival and peaceful protest to coordinate an attack on construction equipment and police officers at a proposed Atlanta Public Safety Training Center. This is not a protest, APD officials said at a press conference Sunday night. This wasn't about a public training center. This was about anarchy. Southern Poverty Law Center staff lawyer, 23 people arrested in Georgia, charged with a violent domestic terrorism and anarchy. Today, Atlanta Police Department announces 23 people were arrested and charged with domestic terrorism, including Thomas Juergens of Georgia, who is a staff lawyer for the Southern Poverty Law Center. The SPLC has long known as an extremist group of radical leftists operating under the auspices of anti-hate group lawyering. and the 23 arrested hate police, and they hate our constitutional republic, yet they hide behind it. The SPLC has long been known as an extremist group of radical leftists operating under the auspices of anti-hate group lawyering. The arrest of an SPLC activist lawyer on domestic terrorism charges affirms the radicalization of the group itself. And it's funny because the Democrat Party uses the SPLC as a source, okay, to determine what groups are hate groups as defined by the SPLC. And we all know that is a bunch of malarkey. So the agitators destroyed multiple pieces of construction equipment by fire and vandalism. Multiple law enforcement agencies deployed to the area and detained several people committing illegal activity. 35 agitators have been detained so far. 35 agitators. How about 35 domestic terrorists? How's that? Okay. The illegal action of the agitators could have resulted in bodily harm. Officers exercised restraint and used non-lethal enforcement to conduct the arrests. Officers have arrested a total of 23 people. Only two of them are from Georgia. The following have been charged with domestic terrorism, according to the Atlanta Police. Thomas Webb Juergens, date of birth 2, 1995. Amin Chow of Virginia, Ayala Ilega King of Massachusetts, Colin Dorsey of Maine, Dimitri Lenny of France, Earhart William Nottingham, Colorado, Emma Bogish, Connecticut, Grace Martin, Wisconsin, Jack April Beamon, Georgia, James Mariscana, North Carolina, Cameron Darrell Pipes, Los Angeles, Kaylee Mesner, Wisconsin, Luke Harper, Florida, Maggie June Gates, Indiana, Mattia Luini, New York, Max Biederman, Arizona, Priscilla Grimm, New York, Robert Paul Frederike, Canada, Samuel Ward, Arizona, Thomas Webb Jurgens, Georgia, Timothy Villadue, Massachusetts, Victor Puertas, Utah, Zoe Larney, Tennessee, and Alex Papali, Massachusetts. So Antifa is getting their groups together from all around the United States to attack installations around the United States, including the Atlanta Police Department, which already has seen one individual shot killed who attacked and tried to shoot a police officer about a month ago. And now Antifa is back at it again. And this time a Southern Poverty Law Center. So the bar number is given for Thomas Webb Jurgens, 101-8858. Member in good standing, eligible to practice law in Florida. His mailing address is Southern Poverty Law Center, 150 East Ponce de Leon Avenue, Decatur, Georgia. Isn't that something? And his email address is given as tom.jurgens@splccenter.org. So now with a Florida bar, once it should conviction occur, is the Florida bar going to disbar the Southern Poverty Law Center employee? And should they, Al?
Disbar?
Yeah.
Depends what she does. If she lets them go, no. If they're treated as domestic terrorists, then no. But Marjorie Taylor Greene, representative, she put out a tweet that Antifa are domestic terrorists, and I'm introducing my resolution to officially declare them a terrorist organization on Tuesday. And this is 150 of them who attacked a construction site for a future public safety training facility. What else do you call it?
I don't know. I mean, what else? That's right. What else do you call it?
Well, in one story, they use the term, well, one story, they can't make up their mind. They're rioters in one clip of the story. And then next, they're protesters. And they call them everything but terrorists.
Yeah, exactly. They call them agitators. I'm surprised they didn't call them white nationalists.
My washing machine has an agitator. These are not agitators. I'm an agitator. My wife says I'm an agitator sometimes. These are people from all over the country. I don't think one of them is from Atlanta. That's something.
It is something. Two are from Georgia. This is the second incident now in a month, isn't it? The first incident was one of the Antifa hacks pulled a gun on a police officer and I believe shot at the officer. The officer returned fire, hitting the Antifa terrorist and killing him, which is, you know, thank you. I'm glad the officer is okay. That's the main thing. But now the story is even sanitized by calling these 23 individuals agitators. And, you know, isn't it something? There was no mention of white nationalism and white supremacy. Out of the 23, one is black. One appears to be of Hispanic. Is it Victor Puertas? So you have 21 white nationalists. I don't know. But no mention of white. They were just agitators. So when they're part of Antifa and they're part of the violent arm of the Democrat Party, they're simply agitators or trespassers.
Well, Well, I demand more racial equity and inclusion in Antifa, and I think it's about time that each type of people are equally registered and front and center, so Antifa can look more like America.
That's right.
These rich white kids are giving Antifa a bad name.
They're domestic terrorists. That's what they are. They're domestic terrorists.
They're like an army. 150 of them is an army.
You ain't kidding. Yep. I did go to the Southern Poverty Law Center website today, and there was no mention of any of their employees being involved in domestic terrorism in Atlanta, Georgia. So obviously they haven't updated their website and don't do it on a regular basis, but somehow the Southern Poverty Law Center enjoys, falsely accusing people of being white nationalists and people of hate. And yet I think this rises more to the level of hate than a Frank Gaffney, who is warning the American people of what the Muslim Brotherhood's intent is after they uncover a document called the Explanatory Memorandum. And I think Frank Gaffney, an expert on counterterrorism, obviously understands what it means to subvert the United States Constitution and engage in covert activity. And then you have, on the other hand, you have a Southern Poverty Law Center employee arrested with domestic terrorism, and yet it doesn't make the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate list. They didn't see anything in listed under Georgia or Florida of Thomas Webb Juergens engaged in hate crime.
Well, here's a question for you regarding an insurance question. Now, the construction crew that is building this facility, because they had bulldozers there, they had front loaders, they had some very expensive heavy equipment on site, not to mention how much they've already built. Now, who is responsible for the damage? Is it the insurance company? Is that going to affect the construction? Are they going to have to? Who ends up having to foot the bill for this violence?
Well, I think that the contractor is going to have to be responsible for, the equipment. The problem is, I've read some of the accounts on it. If there's this thing called terrorism insurance, and apparently it's not standard on all construction policies. So since this has been defined as a construction scene, if the construction company, which right now is going to be on the hook for repairing those bulldozers, and those bulldozers are expensive, $150,000, if they don't have, and this is declared a domestic terrorist attack, the insurance company could negate the claim on the part of the construction company because of an act of terrorism if they don't have terrorism coverage. At that point, they're going to have to go against the individuals and or their employers for reciprocity. Obviously, if these domestic terrorists go to jail, they may all have to split the cost of the, hundreds of thousands of dollars of damage that they caused, but you're not going to get money out of these people. They're not going to reimburse the contractor.
Nope. And the contractor's going to get screwed. People are going to lose their jobs, and it's not going to slow down the building of this facility because another contractor will come in and take over the contract after this one goes broke. That's what really irks me about this whole thing is who's going to end up having to clean up the mess and pay the bill while the police and the district attorney and the federal government do nothing to make sure that these people are put away for a long time. They'll put these January 6 people away for two years now for just being on site, a lot of them. Some of them deserve to be there, but the majority of them just weren't there. Acting stupid, but they're in jail, and it's not going to happen to these people. So they just had riots in downtown Atlanta 3 or 4 months ago.
That's a really, really good point, Al, with regards to the January 6th people who have been denied their constitutional rights to a speedy trial. And then these domestic terrorists, because they're of the left-wing ilk, the Marxist mentality, you know, they certainly won't be thrown in jail in solitary confinement as they should be. Well, you know what? Is a good point. So the construction company ups their bid for the project, and the county taxpayers will pay for the damages. And that's true. I just thought about also, since this is a county project, this is an Atlanta City project, an Atlanta Police Department, it's very possible that ultimately the city of Atlanta would cover the cost if, in fact, the contractor can't be made whole. So, you know, yes, this is going to be a long and protracted process. And these people, these terrorists, these domestic terrorists have done a lot more damage than, you know, unfortunately for the contractor, who was simply doing his job. He bid on the job. He gets the job, and now he's undertaking the construction of the property as required. And now he can't perform the work because of domestic terrorism. And if he doesn't have terrorist coverage on his policy, it's very possible that he won't get reimbursed for the loss of those of that equipment and damage to the property. So in some ways, yeah, it's almost good that they're talking about agitators versus domestic terrorists from the insurance standpoint, so that possibly this could be just a property loss for the contractor.
See, nobody thinks of the victim. Never.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. 600 people in Portland are out of a job because of the Marxist, the left-wing Marxist looters. And then in Georgia, hundreds of thousands of dollars in property damage done by domestic terrorists. And who pays for it? The people who are trying to live by the rule of law.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah, we need some serious repair and rule of law here in our country. It's got to come back, or else we are going down a bad, bad road.
Yeah, we are. We're the road, the Marxist road that we're going down right now, it certainly is all by design, but you know, this left wing wants that Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, you know, to be followed, and they're trying to break down our constitutional republic. And you see it each and every day. And you know, you that little smartass Jamie Raskin from Maryland, you know, tried to be coy and snide in his remarks on the House floor about Democratic, and then calling Republicans banana Republicans. And you know, you don't call Democrats Democratic, because there's nothing Democratic about the Democrat Party. And the issue is, the Democrats in Congress are more like communists than they are constitutionalists. And Raskin is one of those anti-constitutionalists. I mean, he's one that's pushing forth against the Electoral College, you know, and he continually refers to America as a democracy when, in fact, we're a constitutional representative republic. And these frauds in Washington, D.C., this cabal that's going on in D.C., doesn't want to refer to America as a republic. And it's funny how the Democrat Party will embrace these domestic terrorists, such as Antifa, such as the 23 who were arrested in Atlanta, or the looters that are in Portland. And you have to have tremendous disdain for those that were accused of being on the grounds in Washington, D.C. on January 6, 2021. The road that we're going down right now is certainly not it's bumpy, and we do need somebody to pave that road. And you know what? It should be painful for the left, extremely painful for the left, because they're doing a tremendous disservice to our nation, to our youth, to our country, and they should feel the pain, because they want to steal our liberties And frankly, they're taking our country and they're shredding our Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, in doing so, all for their quest for this so-called democracy. And it's just, it's incredible what we're witnessing today. And, you know, acts like this, you know, the Southern Poverty Law Center, who acts like they are the arbiters to monitor hate, when in fact they have their own employees who are engaged in domestic terrorism, and a white guy at that. And I don't hear any cries about white nationalism and white supremacists, which goes to show once again that it's all BS. It's all nonsense, just like this whole environmental movement, this whole green scam hoax. You know, one month ago, a train derailment occurs in East Palestine, Ohio, contaminates the waters, the Ohio River. It's killing animals. It's killing fish. It's killing wildlife. 10 miles away, the residents of East Palestine are getting sick. And guess what? There's no environmental backlash from all these green, so-called green people who demand that we change society due to climate change. As a matter of fact, Pete Buttcheeks decides that he's not going down there, and then he goes down in a photo op and he pulls a bicycle out of the back of the rental car, and he, you know, for a photo op, he rides his bicycle with his cute little hat helmet, you know, to the photo site, okay, as if that has so much meaning. And again, symbolism over substance. You know, there is such an environmental problem here in the United States, and when an environmental catastrophe actually does hit, when a real event occurs, as what happened in East Palestine, Ohio, the left wing is nowhere to be found. It just goes to show that the whole climate change issue is a hoax. The whole environmental movement is a hoax. And the same here with the Southern Poverty Law Center declaring who is a hate group, who's a member of hate. It's a hoax. Who can provide the most dollars for their cause? And then over time, though, it starts to break down, as it did with the Southern Poverty Law Center having an employee engaged in domestic terrorism in Atlanta, Georgia. So the road is bumpy right now. We need somebody to come in to pave that road and to get back on track. And, you know, in 1776, we had some great patriots who fought against the oppression. And now we have the same oppressive individuals who have compromised our country, who've compromised our Constitution, and who want to basically, you know, erode our constitutional rights, as they've done with the January 6th detainees, those that have been arrested 2 years now, and their constitutional rights to a speedy trial, you know, as put forth under the Sixth Amendment, has been breached and abridged. And somehow we should accept that. The federal government is involved in controlling speech because they're going to determine what is disinformation. And somehow our speech being abridged, we can't talk about that. And Biden, you know, continues to be evasive, and he's not transparent. He's not coherent. And we're supposed to just accept that. And what did President Trump say in his CPAC speech about it's April Fool's Day? It seems like every day since January 20th, 2021 is April Fool's Day. And he's so right. I just saw a little blurb on Newsmax today, you know, bumbling Biden is shuffling out of the White House to Marine One. Okay. And he walks towards a person of the press who's shouting out a question concerning China, and blowhard Biden doesn't like the question. And he looks at the news reader, news yeller, and he throws his hand up and he swats his hand like, and he turns his back and he walks away to Marine One. He just walked away. And I'm thinking, so here's President Trump who was accused of not being transparent, who answered each and every question the journalist threw at him. When he leaves the White House and he's walking to Marine One, he gets bombarded with 20, 30 questions. questions and stops and answers each and every one of them. Never threw his hands up, never slapped his hand at a reporter and walked away. And Joe Biden can't take one question. The frail old fraud has to pose for, you know, photo ops. He can't answer a question, and he turns his back on Americans. And somehow we're expected we're supposed to take that. We're supposed to accept that. And as President Trump stated in his CPAC speech, it's April Fool's Day every day with Joe Biden. And he's so right. He's so right. I laughed when I heard President Trump saying that, but it's a great description of the Biden-Harris regime. It's April Fool's Day. And we have to accept the fact that Joe Biden is not transparent, doesn't answer any questions, is evasive, aloof, and basically is incoherent. And we're supposed to accept that.
Well, we accept it because the media makes it that way, because they don't report anything. They don't report them. They are President Biden's bitch, because when he ignores them, they're not angry. They don't report anything negative, no bad press. So it's as if it didn't happen. Yeah, and if the media reported it, people would be aware of it. But unfortunately, too small of a majority of the people just don't listen to the news. They're busy working, trying to make a living, or they're just uninterested, or they're burned out on all the how the country has fallen so quickly. They check out. It's out of their control, so they check out.
That's
not good
for
Team America.
But wait, you know, you hit on something, Al. They check out. They're bored. And it's all by design. You know, there's a sense of there was Trump fatigue, right? I heard that, and I heard that from some friends as well who did not vote for President Trump, and I asked them why, and they stated, you know, I was just tired. I was tired of it. And so the plan of action by the Democrat Party actually worked when you think about it, because they intentionally went after Trump on a daily basis, and they made up all kinds of things, and they hit him every day. And every day that was the news with the DNC media. And they made sure that negativity was front and center. So at some point in time, even though President Trump stood strong and fast and hard and challenged them head on, the American people grew tired of it, and they had fatigue, and the fatigue was that, oh my God, I just can't take this. And it was all manufactured outrage. And so you hit the nail on the head. That is absolutely true, Al. They check out, and that's exactly what we're, you know what? We had 4 years of this intensity, and it was actually all manufactured intensity. And now we got this frail old fraud who the media just kind of lays off of. And he's basically able to do anything he pleases. And, oh, my gosh, isn't it great we're not getting any mean tweets anymore? Oh, it's symbolism over substance.
Power, that's the power of the media.
That's right. You're absolutely right. Good. Yeah, very good, Al. So something near and dear to your heart. So what do you think about the prospect of Hungary moving their embassy to Jerusalem, the capital of Israel?
I read that story. I think it's fantastic that the Abraham Accords are still working despite all of President Biden's attempts to shoot it down and make it disappear. It's still working. So good for Hungary. Hungary's like a thorn in the side to NATO and Biden, because Orban is he's conservative. They don't like it.
Well, neither does the EU. So apparently this has caught the ire of the European Union as well. And this goes to show that, you know, all this noise about being in support of Israel. So from Bare Naked Islam and Gateway Pundit, details of the embassy move were hammered out during recent talks between the Israeli and Hungarian foreign ministers, Eli Cohen and Peter Giardotto, sorry, according to TOI. The two reached an agreement on the matter in recent days, with details hashed out during intensive talks between Foreign Minister Eli Cohen and Hungary's top diplomat, Peter Szijjártó. Senior foreign ministry officials told Zayman Israel, the Times of Israel Hebrew site. The move will make Hungary the first European Union member state to open an embassy in Jerusalem, which the bloc opposes in the absence of a peace agreement between Israel and the Jordanian Palestinians. Ignorant Biden UN ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield recently sparked outrage in Hungary by falsely accusing Hungary of Holocaust memorial vandalism for an incident which actually happened in Sweden. Thomas-Greenfield was fired by Donald Trump in 2017 for incompetence, but was rehired by blowhard Joe Biden because of her race and sex. She has yet to apologize to pro-Israel Hungary for her insult. So it's okay for this UN ambassador to have falsely accused Hungary of Holocaust memorial vandalism when in fact it actually happened in Sweden, not in Hungary. And then Linda Thomas-Greenfield is rewarded for being fired, and she's rewarded by Joe Biden and being rehired. Not surprisingly, the EU slammed Hungary's plan to move Israeli embassy to Jerusalem, criticizing the report plans. EU foreign policy spokesperson Peter Stano, I guess it'd be a spokesman, right? EU foreign policy spokesman Peter Stano said that in the EU, there is a longstanding position which stems from the UN Security Council Resolution 478 from 1980, which calls on all member states of the UN to withdraw embassies and the diplomatic missions to Israel from Jerusalem. Hungary's decision to move its diplomatic mission to Jerusalem would be a first for an EU member state and runs the risk of undermining the EU's long-term goal of a two-state solution for Israel and Palestine, which is a bad thing. But also, the Czech Republic inaugurated its diplomatic office in Jerusalem on Thursday, during a handation of Dukto as the official capital of Israel. So President Trump once again was the leader, and now you've got countries like Hungary and Czechoslovakia who are following suit. So, as they should, the United Nations declared Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel, right?
Well, the Times of Israel reports that Orban has been criticized for targeting Holocaust survivor and left-wing philanthropist George Soros, a Hungarian-born Holocaust survivor and financier known for his left-wing philanthropy, who Orban's rightly called him a public enemy for allegedly backing uncontrolled mass immigration. How the Times of Israel could even write that about George Soros is disgusting to me. Jewish groups in Israel, they condemned Orban's anti-Soros campaign as anti-Semitic, like now George Soros is some kind of righteous Hasidic Jew. But despite widespread denunciations, it continued. In 2018, the Soros-funded Central European University was forced to relocate from Budapest. And in 2019, the Yesh Atid chair, Yair Lapid, he's the Israeli leader who is so anti-Netanyahu, the guy is a full-blown Marxist, said that if he is re-elected prime minister, he would demand that the Hungarian premier apologize for the anti-Semitic campaign against Soros. Lapid did not end up following through on that promise when he served as premier in the second half of 2022. So this is how the Israelis are being told that this is all going down in the Times of Israel.
Wow. I mean, since when is George Soros now a victim, right?
According to the Times of Israel, George Soros is a victim. Orban, who's moving he's moving to Jerusalem because he likes Israel. He should be treated as a hero. And here you got the local paper bashing him and going to the defense of George Soros, who not only hates Israel, but he partners with every other country that is anti-Israel and countries that are hell-bent on Israel's destruction. George Soros is a human walking piece of flotsam. Flotsam is jet trash, by the way. That's the blue ice that comes out of airplanes from way up high.
I thought this was a Yiddish thing.
No. Flotsam. No, it's airplane piss and shit. Excuse my French. Frozen.
You know, here's a guy in George Soros who is funding anarchy in the United States and around the world. He funds Antifa, MoveOn.org. He funds radical left-wing states attorneys, candidates for states attorneys and for attorney generals, and as he's done in Florida, Georgia, he's done it in Los Angeles, San Francisco. Chase Bowden was funded by George Soros and the radicalism. And what's the significance of Chase Bowden? Chase Bowden was the stepson to two domestic terrorists, Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers, whose fellow Weather Underground domestic terrorists were put in jail, husband and wife, for killing a police officer, I believe, and also for robbing a Brinks truck and killing the drivers. They had a son named Chase Bowden, and two domestic terrorists, Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers, raised the child from, I believe, age 8 or 9, and Chase Bowden became the state attorney for San Francisco, and then quickly employed the Prairie Fire Radical Communist Manifesto in San Francisco, allowing criminals to be released for their crimes. Well, crime got so out of hand that in 2022, the citizens of San Francisco, the liberal city of San Francisco, actually recalled the radicals from their positions, including Chase Bowden as state's attorney, who was funded by George Soros. George Soros seeks to undermine the rule of law in the United States, done so with the district attorney or the state attorney in St. Louis, in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, in Orlando, I believe also with Georgia. So this guy is no victim. And as Al said, Soros despises Israel. Soros was the financier of Occupy Wall Street, which morphed into Antifa. And somehow now George Soros is a victim, and he's not a victim. He's an anti-American. He supports terrorism. He supports undermining the rule of law. And he's done so by supporting extremists and radicals to head states attorneys, attorney generals. He even supported the candidate for attorney general in Florida, who thankfully was trounced by Ashley Moody 60-40. And that's what has to be done. George Soros is a cancer. And shame on the Times of Israel writer for sanitizing what George Soros has done and what he's doing with regards to undermining our constitutional rule of law in the United States of America. So congratulations to Viktor Orban, the president of Hungary, for reaching an agreement with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to move the Hungarian embassy to the capital of Israel, Jerusalem.
George Soros should be in jail along with his son, Alexander Soros, PhD. So if he's not on your Twitter page to follow his Twitter activity, look up Alexander Soros, PhD, and follow what he says closely, because you got to know who your enemies are and watch them. And this, because George Soros, he's on his way out. You look at him, he doesn't look real healthy. Looks like he's got one step in the grave. And his son, Alexander, is being groomed to take over for him. So watch him closely. He's another bad dude, just like his dad.
I believe that is it one of the Soros brothers are married to Adam Schiff's sister.
Who
did
Judge?
No, Adam Schiff's sister. If I'm not mistaken,
that would make sense. Yeah, these interlocking Marxist friendships go deep. I mean, even Buttigieg's parents were big-time Marxists in the movement back in the 60s and 70s. So that's how he was raised, was by these Marxists. He just cleaned up his act and kept his plate clean, but his parents were dirty as all day long. If you dislike Marxists, if you like Marxists, then you probably like them.
Well, you know, you start connecting the dots here, okay? So that's interesting that you bring that up, Al, which parents were Marxists, were devout Marxists. And Buttigieg is raised a Marxist. Now, here's a guy who doesn't know anything about commerce, obviously, and has done a very poor job. But now, you know what? It kind of stands to reason. And then you've got Chase Bowden, who was also raised by devout Marxists, Bernadine Dorn, and Bill Ayers, and of course his parents, his biological parents were also domestic terrorists with the Weather Underground, and you wonder where the radicalism comes from. Well, it's from the parents or from the surrogates like Ayers and Dorn, and then you look at Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama. So he was raised or had an influence by Frank Marshall Davis, who was a devout communist. But also, you've got Obama's political career was launched in Chicago by two domestic terrorists, and you might recognize their name, Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, who helped raise Chase Bowden. So now it's all starting to be a little more incestuous, isn't it? You've got Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, who helped launch the political career of Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama. Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama is also in bed with George Soros and the Soros Foundation. And then you've got the Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, who are still teaching. Once they got out of jail, they were teaching in colleges and universities in Chicago. And that radicalism, they're the authors of the Prairie Fire, which is also another radical manifesto. And Chase Bowden, who is a state's attorney or district attorney in San Francisco. So all of these ties now, it really does, you know what, the tentacles really, you connect the dots, and it's really starting to connect, isn't it?
Big time. And Trevor Loudon is a subject matter expert on this entire subject. So if you're not familiar with Trevor Loudon, Loudon, look him up and spend a few minutes looking at his work.
Really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's Trevor Loudon. That's somebody that we should certainly have on the show to talk about this. Well, you know, I did it's funny, you know, I did a show on Friday with regards to the WHO, the World Health Organization, and you know, you connect the dots from the World Health Organization to the World Economic Forum to the United Nations, and you talk about connecting the dots, and then you see who the players are, and Obama's name comes up, and the dots connecting to other radicals, including other anti-Americans and anti-constitutionalists, and it's really frightening that the concerted effort that's being put forth, especially here in the United States, to usurp our congressional process, our legislative process, and basically our constitutional rule of law. And it's being subverted on a daily basis. And it's by the very people that we've put in place and we've entrusted with to uphold the rule of law. And it's truly amazing to watch. And we thought it went back to, you know, some say, well, this all stemmed from Obama. Oh, you know what? Let's keep walking backwards. This stemmed from the Clintons. Just keep going backwards. You know, it was done covertly, I think, more covertly, prior to the Clintons, including George H.W. Bush, who uttered was first to utter the words New World Order. And now the term New World Order is more widely thrown out and is supposed to be accepted. But you start connecting these dots and you see how subversive these politicians are and these people who are held in esteem are with regards to our constitutional rule of law.
Well said.
Yeah, we're going to continue to, and we'll continue to watch the WHO because they're not done. The World Health Organization is going to spend the next year out of this recent meeting that was wrapped up, the 4-day meeting that was wrapped up, to take over the health worldwide, globally, should another pandemic be declared. The World Health Organization would be the body that would control the narrative. They would control the therapeutics. They would control the message. They would control how treatment would be dispensed, including how your physician, my physician, would, what methods they would take in order to treat you. And they would control the information, the disinformation that this new regime in the United States and worldwide is trying to control. Tell you, the more I was looking into this, the more it was like it's really incredible what we're watching today with regards to the propaganda. And now Biden is allowing the subversion of our Constitution to allow a global body to dictate how Americans will be treated in another pandemic, what the response will be, what provisions will be taken with regards to treatment and sharing of life-saving vaccines. All of this will be done globally through the World Health Organization. And there are 194 countries right now who are in the process of debating this whole initiative. And the frightening thing about the World Health Organization, and that each and every American, irrespective of party affiliation, should take exception to, is under the Constitution of the World Health Organization, if the voting members of the World Health Organization come to an agreement and they vote to implement this treaty with regards to the pandemic treaty, it becomes law, global law. And there's verbiage inside of the Constitution of the World Health Organization that states that the World Health Organization treaty will supersede any other jurisdictional law around the world, any other government's jurisdictional law, which means that even though the United States Senate is not given the opportunity to advise and consent as stated in Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution, which the president is legally bound to do so, if the World Health Organization renders their vote and they vote to adopt this pandemic treaty, and the United States representative to the WHO votes in favor of this, and it becomes law, the WHO will not recognize the U.S. Constitution, and all has to be done is for the President of the United States to sign this without the advising consent of the United States Senate. And this is how dictatorial and anti-American the Obama regime truly is, because they will put this bill in front, this treaty in front of Joe Biden. He will sign it, but it's not a treaty because the United States Senate has not been given the opportunity to advise and consent as constitutionally required. And so now we have a situation where the Biden regime is subverting the United States Constitution. And to me, that's treason, Al. You've got Joe Biden, who at least on six occasions as being elected U.S. Senator, took the oath of office to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution. Twice, Joe Biden took the oath of office as Vice President-elect and took the oath of office to uphold the U.S. Constitution. And once, after being installed as president, he took the oath of office to protect and defend. And he's intentionally signing on to subverting the U.S. Constitution. This is the world globalist, the new world order, the world body in action. And they're using the cover of another pandemic as a means to take over our healthcare system and dictate healthcare in the United States.
Yeah, and we saw what they did to Djokovic, the tennis player we were talking about earlier, did not allow him entry when there's literally millions of illegal aliens coming in. So, yeah, this is a very dangerous regime. In fact, Merrick Garland, I don't know, did you hear about the – he sent out a memorandum within the last day. Attorney General Merrick Garland said, quote, there has been a disturbing spike in harassment, intimidation, and chanting. These chants run counter to our nation's core values. Garland then said he was committed to use the full authority of the department to counter these chants. As a result, the DOJ will begin investigating the sports fans chanting F Joe Biden at athletic events. These events include college football games, NASCAR races, and anywhere Joe Biden goes in Michigan. Garland says these chanters are domestic terrorists.
Really? So someone needs to – this is the Attorney General, the Chief Law Enforcement Officer in the United States. So someone needs to send Merrick Garland a constitution, because with the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances, which means that the executive branch does not get the ability to or the judicial branch to suppress speech in America they don't like. Is this April Fool's Day, as President Trump says? You have the Attorney General of the United States who is seeking to suppress free speech in America?
Yeah, throwing the Constitution, just ripping it up and throwing it in the garbage. You can't do that. Where are the Republicans, for crying out loud? So let's go, Brandon. Say that forever, loudly and proudly. Let's go, Brandon. Unbelievable.
Wow. So it was okay for the left-wingers to burn the American flag. And, of course, when that case was put forth to the United States Supreme Court, they upheld the burning of the American flag as a symbol of free speech. So are you people chanting, you know, let's go, Brandon, now is going to – they're going to be intimidated by the brown shirts, by the Gestapo of the FBI, by the Justice Department, who unilaterally decides that they can overrun the United States Constitution and freedom of speech in America?
Yes.
F Joe Biden,
you're now a domestic terrorist. If you're one of the 150 Antifa rioters destroying private property on public land at a public construction site for a federal building, and they're not immediately labeled as domestic terrorists, rounded up and thrown in jail. And then some of the Republicans are going down a different but similar path. And one of them is Florida Senator Jason Broder, who's a Republican out of Lake Mary. Broder's proposal, Senate bill, this is a state bill, Senate bill 1316 called the Information Dissemination Bill, would require any blogger writing about government officials to register with the Florida Office of Legislative Services or the Commission on Ethics. These are paid bloggers.
Go ahead.
Can you believe this? These are paid bloggers who are writing about elected officials. They're going to have to register with the state, and if they do not, they will be fined anywhere from $25 a day up to a max of $2,500 per day if they don't comply. So you have a Republican state senator trying to chill the free speech of political bloggers. Now, his reasoning for it, he made a video trying to explain himself. He was saying, well, there's lobbyists. Lobbyists have to register with the state when you are lobbying public officials. Well, he believes, Jason Broder, moron Republican, he believes that independent public bloggers who receive money to talk about elected officials are also lobbyists. That means this show, where we talk about elected officials quite a bit, we are technically lobbyists now, and we would be subject to fines by Jason Broder for talking about elected officials, both pro and con, Republican and Democrat, equally.
That's absurd. And you know what? If that sort of legislation were passed in Maryland, I'm sunk, says Bigfoot. And he's absolutely right. That is absolutely absurd. Doesn't anybody understand what the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution means any longer? How it applies? There is no way, shape, or form that a blogger is anything like a lobbyist. Excuse me. Okay?
Paid bloggers.
Okay. Paid by whom?
But who cares?
That's exactly right. It doesn't matter who.
Right.
We do live in a technology era, and certainly back before technology era, we didn't have the opportunity for this information activity. We did it the old primitive way. We might have written pieces in op-eds, in newspapers, okay? We may have had our own newsletter distributed. This is no different with a blogger, okay? Only we're using technology, and now you've got a government official in Florida, a Republican at that, who now wants people to register? Why? Okay? Does Broder wear a brown shirt? I mean, is this what we've gotten to with the Attorney General of the United States and now a senator in Florida? A state senator in Florida now wants people to be monitored for their work? It's bad enough if you have Alexis in your house who's monitoring what speeches, or if you have an iPhone who's monitoring your speech, okay? But the federal government has no business, okay, monitoring your speech. That's exactly what our founders said. They protect speech for those who dissented against the government, who had a dissenting voice. Is that, I mean, now we've gotten that fragile that you can't accept somebody having an opposing opinion? Give me a break. Oh, my God. The Florida government should not
pass. That's a scary new road.
It is.
No.
It definitely is a new road. What's the bill number again, Al?
Senate Bill 1316, and the sponsor is Representative Jason Broder. So if you Google in Senate Bill 1318 and then Jason Broder, it should pop up.
How do you spell that last name?
B-R-O-D-E-U-R.
You.
Yeah, let me double check it here. Hold on.
All right, I'm going to definitely look this up.
This is Broder, Broder, and that's Senate Bill 1316, not 18. My mistake.
Okay. So we have
Bill 1316.
On one hand, we have you have the Attorney General of the United States, who, by the way, that was not satire, right? You were stating what Merrick Garland was talking about was actually that was a factual statement, right? He wanted to upend speech in the United States.
That's the story that I read. Okay. I did not double check it or research it. It felt real, but you never know, and I don't doubt it. Let me put it that way. It was a Twitter, you know. There you go.
Okay.
I just retweeted it, so it'll show up on Global Patriot Radio Twitter page.
All right. And then you
so
also
if you haven't
have
friended us. Go over there and friend us. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, what is it now? It's at G Patriot Radio is the Twitter handle, correct?
Yes.
All right. All right. We'll look it up. This is absolutely incredible. Incredible. Honestly.
The world's going cuckoo.
Oh my God. And it's not limited to just the radical Democrat Party, you know, the Make Americans Dependent Party. I mean, this guy is this state senator in Florida is a Republican, and he wants people who are blogging against the government to register with the state. Oh, piss off, man.
Mm-hmm. And he's a fairly strong Republican. He's got good creds for the most part. Might be a little on the establishment side now, but he had, you know, fairly good credentials.
Golly. Mm-mm-mm. Wow. Okay. That's definitely something to look out for. Holy crap.
Right when you think it couldn't get worse, it gets worse.
So let's see, bloggers are more likely to be paid by outsiders to taint a political candidate, a conservative blogger or a leftist blogger being paid by Soros or Bloomberg. So I guess I guess a political blogger who's paid by Soros or Bloomberg would have to register. You know what? First of all, it's speech. And, you know, we don't agree. We certainly don't agree with the left wing, you know, attack angle. And we don't. You know, you don't agree with George Soros and certainly any of his radical anti-American organizations. But when you start controlling speech and you think that you're doing something, you know, out of the good of the people to control speech, I'm sorry. It's in direct violation of the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. And we already see with the ramifications of the left wing's intolerance in colleges and universities around the country where they're denying – okay, people like, you know, conservative speakers like a Ann Coulter or a Ben Shapiro to appear at a college to speak to students because the left-wing students are intolerant of opposition speech. They can't handle it. And now you're going to come in and you're going to have people register because they blog and you don't like how they're blogging, or they may be blogging against DeSantis, or they may be blogging against Hochul, or they may be blogging, against Brian Kemp. And suddenly we have to drop all laws because somebody's offended. Well, you know what? Fight back. Get in the trenches and stand there like a man or a woman. Okay. And take it and then give it right back. Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. You never heard President Trump. Yeah, he complained, but he fought back. He didn't say stop the speech. He just attacked them every time they said something that was wrong. He came back and hit them twice as hard. And that is how our republic is supposed to work. And freedom of speech is not meant to be pretty and clean. Freedom of speech is meant to protect bad speech. Not good speech, but bad speech.
Yeah, and it's okay for, you know, blowhard Biden to attack Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, and I bring that up. I didn't give her any money. Okay. I'm not financially attached to her at all. But I thought it's kind of ironic how the Democrat Party, including
blowhard Biden now are using Marjorie Taylor Greene as a punching bag. You know, on two things. You got Biden going after Marjorie Taylor Greene and specifically naming her, okay, in some of his teleprompter readings. So much so that she was attacked at a restaurant in Georgia. So now you've got, you know, blowhard Biden with his incitement to violence. But it's okay when Biden, you know, goes after Republicans now and names those individuals. Okay. And then you've got the Democrat Party itself and their minions, you know, sending out their talking points as Hakeem Jeffries does on a daily basis. Whenever he sends out a tweet, he must use the term MAGA Republicans and extreme in the same sentence. It doesn't matter what the subject matter is, okay, but the MAGA Republicans, the extreme element of the Republican Party, is going to usurp your, okay, is going to upend your. So clearly the DNC now has got their talking points out, and their minions like Hakeem Jeffries has been, tagged to use the term MAGA Republicans in every tweet. Now, I don't know about you, Al, but if I have a candidate, okay, if a candidate for president of the United States comes up and says, you know, our goal should be to make America great, I don't know how that's radical. I don't know how that's extreme. On the other side of the coin, you have the left-wing Communist Party, who flies under the guise of the Democrat Party, the left-wing communist, who decide that they're going to make Americans dependent upon the federal government, and somehow that's not radical and extreme. But wanting to make America great, wanting to make America exceptional, wanting to make America the haven for liberty, individual liberties and freedoms of the world, which people have flocked to, okay? And we've built a great country, and that somehow that value system is considered extreme and radical is absolute malarkey. And every tweet I see from Hakeem Jeffries now is he uses the term MAGA Republicans extreme. I mean, it's like clockwork. And of course, Robert Reich now uses the term MAGA Republicans extreme. And so obviously the Democrat National Committee has sent out their cliches to their minions to use on a daily basis now. And you've got Joe Biden now engaged in attacking members of the Republican members of the House of Representatives by name. And somehow that's okay. But Merrick Garland now is going to go after you and me if we should dare speak ill about fuck Joe Biden.
Yeah, you know, another story on a different vein that has disappeared from last week that's really important that we covered was the Energy Department concludes that COVID-19 pandemic likely originated from Chinese lab leak at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. We talked about that in moderate length, but that story has fallen off the media radar, just like we said it would. Remember we said the story will be gone? It was gone.
Yeah, and so that means that that was brought out as a narrative to because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris had a really bad week, and so they needed a quick distraction. And so they used that for a weekend, and now that that's gone, and you know, Kamala and Joe are back, you know, out of the spotlight again for being absolutely stupid. And, of course, Joe Biden falling up the stairs for the third time.
No longer news. They ignore it.
Isn't it something? The Wuhan virus was, in fact, out of China.
Yeah. Oh, did you hear the Chris Rock rant finally came out? Again, the slap from Will Smith?
Okay.
Oh, you didn't hear about it? Oh,
no.
Chris Rock is on fire. And he gives it to Will Smith verbally, and because he's a comedian. And it's so funny that he talks about how – because they have an open marriage, Will Smith and Jada Smith, but they went on national TV and talked about – Jada was talking about having oral sex with another guy.
And, oh, my.
And And Will Smith is there just taking it, and he keeps referring to Will Smith as a bitch whose wife controls him and talks about her extramarital affairs on national TV. And he goes, I don't like talking about this stuff, but these idiots put it out on national TV. What am I supposed to do? And very, very funny. So, and a lot of cuss words. If you don't like cuss words, don't watch the video. But that's just a little taste of what you will get. And it's talk about retribution. Retribution that'll make you laugh.
Okay. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm going to have to watch that video of Chris Rock.
And his overriding message is, I am not a victim, which is kind of refreshing in a way, because everybody, we're in victim mentality big time. So.
Yeah, without a doubt. So
stay
Wednesday.
Your born gender and have a great week.
And check out, and on Wednesday, check out Hank Jones and Poly Sports at 5:30 p.m. right here on Global Patriot Radio. Friday, Andrew Harrah with Conservative Casual Friday, and I might be sitting in again this Friday for Andrew. So I'll put something out on Twitter. Saturday, Minister Simon Dakduk and a beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam. Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan with the Cross of the Crescent, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Check out Eric's show. He does a great interfaith dialogue. And Monday, Al and I will be back at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Please keep G-Ski of G-Ski and Dave, Airwaves America, in your prayers. Friday, Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio with her great co-host, author Curtis Bennett, 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. That's Friday afternoon at 1 p.m. Simone Nicole Show, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time at Spreaker.com. If you want a break from politics and Islam, check out the Simone Nicole Show. Great self-help show. Just gives you great pointers with regards to dealing with your personal health. And Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. on Thursdays, go to AudreyRusso.com. Great conservative talk show. She usually has about 3 guests, and she does a fantastic job, and she's got a great co-host, Mr. P. He's got some fantastic rants. Love Mr. P's rants. But check out the Audrey Russo show, AudreyRusso.com or Real Talk Radio. Real Talk Radio. And Alan, I'll be back on next Monday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook, Al. Any parting shots? No? Okay. Well, I want to thank Bigfoot, our big patriot, Ducky Northwest, Gulf Dogs, HOV Radio, Super. So nice to see you soon. And God bless you. And check out bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. You want to talk about, we were talking about Blogspot, but Bigfoot's got a great Blogspot. You want news from national and international news. He does a fantastic job. Great stories. Check out www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Alan, I'll be back next Monday evening. You all be safe out there. Be aware of your surroundings. Thank you for joining us. God bless you all. Ciao. That was loud. Sorry about that.
Good one. No, the dogs are barking, so I had to stay muted.
Oh. Even they were excited that the show was over.
Yeah.
They were signing off.
They were starting to howl.
They heard Sinatra in the background. Man. I'll tell you something. This whole thing, this whole attack on free speech movement is disturbing. And now you've got the Attorney General of the United States who's going to determine what speech is going to be acceptable. And this is the regime, the Biden-Harris regime, are the ones that came up with this disinformation narrative. And it turns out that they are the bastions of disinformation. They are the facilitators of disinformation, and they don't want people challenging them.
No, very Orwellian, for sure.
Everything they accuse Donald Trump of, they falsely accuse Trump of, is exactly what they are. They are tyrants. They are intolerant. They are authoritarians. And most of all, they are anti-constitutionalists and they're anti-Americans. It is truly incredible. And the minister of truth, that broad who is now, she's now going to sue Fox News for falsely reporting that she was the minister of truth for the Department of Homeland Security when in fact she was not. And yet she puts out these videos and she put out statements to allude to the fact that she was going to seek out disinformation. The government is going to be the arbiter of truth, and it goes exactly contrary to what our founders were concerned with. I mean, our founders were concerned about this very thing, about government being the arbiters of truth. And this is exactly what the Biden regime is doing, what our founders warned us on. God. Wow.
Yeah, right. It's coming from Broder. That Broder story is very troubling.
Wow. Wow. That is – I'm going to have to look that bill up. I'm going to read it. I read it. Incredible. Wow.
It's a quick read. Believe it or not, it's short enough. It's a quick read. It's only like – that section of it is only not even 5 minutes. And,
okay. Yeah, but – That's disturbing. That really is. Whether it's the federal government or state government, they're monitoring speech is what they're doing.
Yeah, someone will be monitoring the speech and imposing fines from a government office.
Wow.
And then who's the arbiter? Who determines who's a paid blogger?
Exactly.
If you have a point of view, and what if you're not paid? Then what? Well, you're still blogging. You're still a lobbyist. There's other ways to get paid. Not everything is legal tender. And then who decides that? Who's the arbiter of what's paid and not paid? Because there's always a loophole.
Exactly. And you take Bigfoot's blog. Okay, so. His blog is eclectic. It's any story that's out. Every story that's out there. There's Axios, and there's townhall.com. There's the Huffington Post is in there as the what do you call it? The American the Federalist. Okay, so now Big would have to register with the state of Florida. If, in fact, he makes a comment concerning the title of, let's say, one of the articles, I mean, if it goes against the governor, the governor could, you know, a governor can be wrong, whether it's a Republican, an independent, or a Democrat. A governor can make a wrong opinion, and you can call out a governor, whether you're a blogger or a citizen. And now you're going to have to register as your blog if you dare comment about a government official in Florida. I don't think so.
What if someone gives you what if someone gives you a donation unsolicited? Mm-hmm. Does that mean that you are now paid? I would say yes. And then what if the other side gives a donation and then just to set him up, he takes it, cashes the check, and then that's that. Now he's a paid blogger, and then they go after him if they don't like his messaging. And being a conservative, they would not.
You know,
DeSantis, there's so many ways this could go wrong. Yeah.
Well, DeSantis should tell this broder to withdraw that bill. You know what? I've got thick skin as governor, and if I can't take the hits from people, then I don't deserve to be in politics. And if you can't take the hits, Senator Broder, as a senator in, or a politician in Florida, maybe you should think about getting a going into a different career.
Mm-hmm.
God almighty. Oh.
Yeah. World's crazy.
It is.
Hey, Sue, how are you doing? I hope well. Have a great week.
Yeah.
You're still there.
Have a great week is right. And Al, you have a great week as well. I hope you're doing good. And I do have to head out. So got some things to take care of and places to go, even this late. So, but enjoyed it.
People to see.
People
huh?
to see. Enjoyed it. Oh, that was good.
Great show as always.
All right. Yes, it was. Well, have a good evening. Goodbye, Sue. Talk to you later. And
so long, Sue.
Adios,
and you,
Al.
Sue, and you. Yeah, so long.
All right, Al, my pal. We'll talk to you later.
you take care. Bye for now.
That's all, folks. Thank you, Music Block Talk.